So what happens now?
We face each other as God intended. Sportsmanlike. No tricks, no weapons. Skill against skill alone.
You mean you'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and we'll try and kill each other like civilized people?
I can kill you now.
Frankly, I think the odds are slightly in your favor at hand fighting.
It's not my fault being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
In late January 1993, Andrei Rene Rusumov, best known by his wrestling name, Andre the Giant, for his gargantuan proportions, traveled back to his home country of France upon hearing the news that his father had passed away. The massive wrestler-turned-actor wanted to attend the funeral and planned to stay a few extra days to celebrate his mother's birthday. Although his wrestling career had slowed down a bit in recent years, Andre the Giant was the very definition of a living legend. With his distinctive size, he stood 7'4" and weighed nearly 560 pounds at his peak, rumbling baritone voice and affable presence making him instantly recognizable in public. Already a huge star from his wrestling career, he'd recently branched out from the relatively provincial world of professional wrestling. It was a regional attraction when he started his career and had only recently burst into the broader public consciousness on the backs of charismatic stars like himself, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair. And he now found himself breaking into the world of mainstream Hollywood entertainment with parts in popular television shows of the day like The Greatest American Hero, BJ and the Bear, The Fall Guy, and Zorro, as well as movies like 1984's Conan the Destroyer, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger reprising his role as the sword-wielding barbarian warrior. And just 3 years later, he'd become etched in film history as the lovable gentle giant in Rob Reiner's fantasy adventure classic, The Princess Bride. Although accustomed to strangers gawking at his massive size like a carnival attraction, Rusumov sometimes longed for the relative obscurity of the small commune in northern France where he was born, and could still lead a relatively ordinary existence. Instead of the freakishly large giant that everyone wanted to snap a photo with, he was just Andre who could hang out with a group of friends and throw back a few drinks. Or perhaps more than a few. Amazingly, Rusumov's drinking habits actually kept pace and even exceeded his physical size. The stories about his drinking are legion, often taking on mythic proportions, as this story he shared on David Letterman.
You quit drinking beer?
Yes.
Now, you used to have a really, an incredible appetite for drinking, didn't you?
Right, for beer, yes.
Is it true that you, in one sitting, drank 117 beers?
Yes, one night.
And did that? Were you drunk at the end of that?
I don't remember. I think I passed out.
Even as a matter of sheer volume of liquid, that's around 11 gallons of beer. And just to put this in context, the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism estimates that an average man will pass out after drinking just 5 to 6 beers within a 2-hour period. And even if you make it 6 hours, which the story says, that'd be around 15 to 18 beers. He reportedly drank 100 more than that in the same time span. Just a staggering figure to even think about. Even if greatly exaggerated, it's just mind-boggling. Fellow wrestling legend Dusty Rhodes said he'd seen Andre down 156 tall boys in a single sitting. And another wrestling buddy said he once drank 127 beers at the bar in the Abraham Lincoln Hotel in Reading, Pennsylvania, before passing out in the lobby. And apparently, during the latter incident, the staff was unable to move him and had to simply leave him there until he woke up the next day. Even before his famous WrestleMania 3 bout with Hulk Hogan, legend has it that Andre drank 14 bottles of wine, which may help explain how he lost the match. But the countless tales of the fun-loving, hard-drinking giant only serve to obscure the larger truth about Rusumov. His greatest asset was also the source of profound health issues that would plague him nearly his entire life. In addition to suffering from gigantism from an overactive pituitary gland releasing excessive growth hormones, he also suffered from a heart condition and other organ complications as a result of his size. But surgical procedures were complicated given the massive dosages required to put him under general anesthesia. Alcohol tolerance is often used as a rough guideline to estimate a patient's tolerance for standard anesthetics, and the urban legends surrounding his drinking habits made that task virtually impossible. Doctors have speculated that Rusumov's liver, the organ responsible for processing alcohol, played a large role in his drinking prowess and further complicated his ability to be put under for surgeries. Nevertheless, the larger-than-life icon showed little signs of slowing down when he settled in to play cards with a group of buddies on the evening of January 27th in Paris. He'd just finished filming scenes for a new movie starring Anna Chlumsky and Sissy Spacek, playing a circus strongman and flashing the same comedic timing that had served him so well in The Princess Bride, albeit with a vastly inferior script. Despite the somber occasion of burying his father just a few days earlier, Rusimov seemed to be in a good place, enjoying time with some of his oldest friends in his home country. He returned to his hotel room around 1 a.m. on January 28th. It was the last time anyone saw him alive. Andre the Giant was just 46 years old. I'm Derek Hoffman.
I'm Jason Beckerman.
And this is Last Days, Andre the Giant.
There had always been an air of invincibility to Andre the Giant. In the wrestling ring, he looked absolutely immovable, with oiled-up, muscly wrestlers quite literally bouncing off him as he swatted at them like flies at a picnic table. But the fact of the matter was, Rusimov had been battling a number of chronic health issues dating back to the early 1980s. One Christmas in the early 80s, Andre realized he couldn't breathe when he laid down to sleep at his secluded country home in Ellerby, North Carolina. Although not fond of doctors and constantly worried about causing a scene in public, he called on a man named Dr. Presley Rankin to make a house call. Dr. Rankin made daily visits for a week, but ultimately declined to continue seeing Rusimov. According to Andre's close friends, the doctor saw the multitude of health issues and Rusimov's drinking habits and said, quote, "I refuse to come back here and watch you die." The episode finally snapped Rusimov into focus about his health, prompting him to visit a hospital that immediately diagnosed him with a severe case of pericardial effusion, which caused a large amount of fluid to build up around his heart and compromised his ability to breathe while lying down. The medical staff at Duke University successfully drained the fluid from his heart, but his acromeglia, a disease of the pituitary gland that causes the constant secretion of growth hormone, was left untreated. The disease was greatly shortening his life expectancy, while at the same time its physical effects on his size and distinct voice increased his celebrity. Rather than start treatment for the disease, Andre refused any intervention, perhaps worrying about its impact on his professional life. It's one of the great tragedies of his life. If addressed early in life, acromegaly is very treatable. One doctor who specializes in the condition said, quote, "It is absolutely treatable in the beginning, but once the bones start growing, they can no longer become elongated and start growing thicker, introducing a whole myriad of problems." Another massive wrestler, WWE's Paul Big Show White, who also has the condition, had the necessary medical intervention to address it and lives a relatively ordinary life now. In the end, it appears that Andre the Giant's body just gave out. Years of heavy drinking in combination with the stress on his major organs eventually contributed to congestive heart failure, which took his life. His family provided a funeral for him and intended to bury Andre near his father in Paris, but his will stated that Andre wished to be cremated. Interestingly, no crematorium in France could dispose of his remains, so two friends paid to have his body flown back to the United States and cremated in accordance with his wishes. The resulting 17 pounds of human ashes were then scattered at his beloved ranch in North Carolina. For reference, the cremated remains from the average-sized adult typically weighs between 4 and 8 pounds, about 3.5% of a person's original body weight. Per the terms of his will, his entire estate was left to his daughter, Robin. Let's take a quick break. More on Andre the Giant's legacy when we come back.
Andre the Giant was truly a mythical figure. People have been in his presence speak about him in reverential tones because his sheer size was quite literally awe-inspiring in the truest sense of that expression. And there's two particular photos that stand out in my mind when I think about Andre the Giant. The first is a picture of his hand holding a can of Molson beer, and there's a story behind this picture. It's from a 1981 issue of Sports Illustrated and has always sparked rumors that it's photoshopped or some sort of camera trickery. But the writer of the piece, Terry Todd, insists it's 100% authentic, noting that Rusimov's wrists were more than a foot in circumference, which is, quote, "about average for an adult male Western lowland gorilla."
So the 800-pound gorilla in the room,
he
weighed 581. So a small gorilla, the same size as a small gorilla.
Massive.
The photo that you're talking about became really famous when, as Andre became more famous into the mid-80s, especially the battles that we'll talk about, these photos started to come out of him holding this beer. It's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen.
It
doesn't take
context.
Up the full palm of his hand. It goes from, he holds it like a beer can would, but it only goes from like his pinky to
his index fingers over the can.
It's over the can.
And it's one of those pictures that gives you context because he was massive and you could tell he's massive even in the wrestling ring. But when you see that mitt, and it's so thick too, there's basketball players who can palm basketballs, but you don't see a beer can just sort of vanish in someone's palm like that. And it gave people a sense of this is a massive otherworldly type human. And it's always stood out in my head. And to this day, Terry Todd still has to answer questions about like, yeah, I sat there. I saw him hold the beer can. Right. It's not Photoshop. This was the early 80s.
But that gave it perspective of how big he was. And then the photos you can talk about with him with other enormous stars sort of just confirmed what everybody thought about this guy's enormous size.
You're exactly right. The second picture that comes to mind is this picture of Andre, Wilt Chamberlain, and Arnold Schwarzenegger on the set of Conan the Destroyer. And Arnold, for one, looks tiny. And it's hard to ever say that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the most muscled up Mr. Olympia, Mr. Universe of all time, looks positively minuscule.
It's actually incredible he took this picture because Arnold at the time was really about presenting, always being Arnold. He's now matured and he doesn't care so much about these things.
He's but, Conan. He has a broadsword.
Yeah,
he needs to be the biggest.
But he's with Wilt Chamberlain, who's what, 7'2"?
7'2".
And Andre, who's 7'4". And so he looks like a little boy compared to these two guys.
It's just remarkable. He's standing in the middle. He's fully ripped. He's at the peak of his powers. And it's sort of like a role reversal where he's the Danny DeVito in like Twins or something because he's around these two giants. But the really fascinating part is that Andre had been next to shredded wrestlers many times, but the 7'1" or 7'2" Wilt Chamberlain is on the left side of this photo. And look, he's close in height, but it's the massive size, the scale of Andre the Giant that makes someone like Wilt Chamberlain, who is very strong and
he was ripped as well, huge.
Makes him look slight, makes him look skinny. And the picture really hammers home the point that Andre the Giant was always billed as the eighth wonder of the world. And when you're looking at him, you're seeing someone that nobody else on Earth looked like.
But it actually all started very modestly in the small commune of north central France, where he was born in 1946 to ordinary-sized parents, Boris and Marianne Roussimoff. He weighed a whopping 13 pounds at birth. Average child probably weighs, what, 7 to 8 pounds?
7 to 8 pounds.
And quickly displayed signs of gigantism, sprouting to 6'3" by the age of 12. He spent his childhood working on his father's farm. A little fun fact, the famed Irish playwright Samuel Beckett from Waiting for Godot and others was one of the locals who drove children to school, and the two apparently struck up a friendship, bonding over their shared love of cricket. By the age of 18, Andre entered the world of professional wrestling and quickly became a huge draw, wrestling under the name Monster Roussimoff all over the world, including stints in the United Kingdom, Germany, Australia, Japan, and Canada. Early film of these days is hard to come by, but what little is available shows a much leaner and younger Andre the Giant, capable of real wrestling maneuvers like drop kicks and other athletic moves. This would all change in 1973 when Andre met Vince McMahon Sr., founder of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. McMahon immediately saw the potential of building his nascent wrestling federation around Roussimoff and began billing him under the name Andre the Giant. He quickly started framing Andre the Giant as a mythological figure, a large, nearly immovable monster, as opposed to just another acrobatic wrestler. Almost from the start, Andre became one of the most popular wrestlers on the circuit, racking up nearly undefeated records and building his legend throughout the decade. This was the era before the rise of other big wrestling stars from the 1980s, so Andre really reigned supreme, and anyone looking to challenge him paid the price, particularly if you are another tall wrestler looking to make a name for yourself, like a guy who wrestled by the name Big John Studd.
Now, Big John Studd was 6'10", probably 350 pounds, and Andre, he liked being the giant among giants, so it didn't work out very well for John Studd.
John Studd, among other things, when he came to the ring, he would step over the top rope. That's what Andre did. So no one should step over the top rope because that's Andre's thing. If you didn't respect that, Andre had no respect for you.
Andre would beat the crap out of John Studd, you know, to prove who the real giant was.
He's not having a good time, is he?
In 1980, he feuded with a new upstart named Hulk Hogan. Hogan, who was actually positioned as the villain, as this was many years before the rise of Hulkamania, ended up getting body slammed and pinned by Andre in a prelude to their most famous match, which would come a few years later. And by 1982, Vince McMahon Jr., who is the Vince McMahon everyone knows from wrestling now, took over the WWF and started the annual April showcase called WrestleMania, which remains a staple of the wrestling world to this day. And Andre was the biggest draw, winning the body slam challenge against Big John Studd in WrestleMania 1, and continuing his dominance by winning a 20-man battle royale match featuring NFL stars and wrestlers in WrestleMania 2. But the best was yet to come. WrestleMania 3 is considered a high watermark in the history of professional wrestling. We discussed this in the Randy Macho Man Savage episode. It is just in the history books as what launched it from sort of regional sport to a nationwide sensation.
I was a little kid. I was a kid at the time. And it was all anybody talked to. Maybe all what boys talked about.
Very
boys. The next day on the school that we had all, this was on free TV at the time. It wasn't the pay-per-view events. And everybody watched it. And it was, there was a huge lead up to it. We all knew Andre the Giant and everybody was excited to see it. And it was like, I mean, it was all scripted, but as a kid, you don't really let those things bother you.
And it's still entertaining. You're still watching the giant being taken on.
Exactly.
And by this time, Rusev was around 20 years into his professional wrestling career and already showing the strain of carrying around his immense weight, living in constant pain from the stress on his bones and joints, and wearing a back brace from a recent surgery. And in front of a record crowd, Hulk Hogan, who by this time was the rising star of the WWF and repositioned as the hero in his trademark brightly colored singlets, squared off against Andre the Giant, the aging villain in an old school black singlet that hid that back brace. And the match was absolutely epic and a true passing of the torch moment.
Look at the stare of the champion against the challenger. The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
Look at the size of the giant. I mean, Hogan is 6'8".
Andre is 7'5". The bell is gone.
I don't know if he's got enough left in him.
That adrenaline can do wonders. We're seeing what this guy is really made of. Why he is the greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this.
He's slammed the giant. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm dropping a big leg.
Later dubbed the body slam heard round the world, Hogan would say himself Rusev was so heavy that he tore his back muscle during that body slam. And in actuality, Hogan had slammed Andre in the past during their earlier matches, but Andre was slighter and lighter back then. This was the heavier 20 years into his career. And earlier he weighed, you know, a scant 470 pounds. Now he's hulking a 560 pound man over his head and slamming him into the canvas.
So we knew Hulk Hogan, of course, from the Rocky III, but it had come out a few years earlier. And he was already a pretty big star on the circuit, a really big star. He sort of crossed over into movies, et cetera. But his athletic prowess, a lot of people discount wrestlers as not being very athletic, and wrestling people will fight back. They're extremely athletic. This was a feat of athleticism and strength that I don't know many people in the world could have pulled off.
Yeah, it stands up to this day. Just, you know, Hulk Hogan is massive in his own right, but lifting someone like that in the middle of a ring, it's astonishing to behold it.
It really is. Andre would continue to wrestle into the early 1990s, and there were even some memorable matches with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Jake the Snake Roberts. But his health and age were beginning to catch up with him, and his presence became more of a novelty act within the wrestling world. His final WWF match was in a 17-man battle royale at a show in Detroit, Michigan, but he wasn't the last man standing in that one, which was won by Kerry Von Erich of the famous Von Erich wrestling family, recently profiled in the movie The Iron Claw. But even if his wrestling career petered out, Andre the Giant's stature only grew after a showdown at WrestleMania III with Hulk Hogan.
Just 6 months after that WrestleMania III match, a new fantasy adventure comedy adapted from a William Goldman novel and directed by Rob Reiner hit theaters. It was called The Princess Bride. And at the time, it was actually only a modest success. It earned around $31 million at the box office on a $16 million budget, so profitable. But it has since become one of the most beloved cult classics of the era. And although its success is due to a variety of factors, you got Cary Elwes and Robin Wright with amazing lead performances, cameos from Billy Crystal and a host of other people, the presence of Rusev as the gentle giant Fezzik is actually the beating heart of this movie. So much of the film is steeped in irony and sarcasm. It subverts the conventions of classic fairy tales to make this truly special and hilarious movie for kids and adults. But Andre the Giant's simple and plain-spoken wit are just the heart of the film. He truly seems to be enjoying himself. He delivers laughs that resonate for both children and adults, like this one.
At Vicini, he can fuss.
Fuss, fuss. Think you like to scream at us?
Probably he means no harm.
He's very, very short on charm.
You have a great gift for Ryan.
Yes, yes. Some return.
Enough of that! Fezzik, are there rocks ahead?
If they are, we all be dead.
No more rhymes now, I mean it!
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah!
But what really stands out about his performance is the warmth and humanity that he emanates. The movie's built upon the inherent ridiculousness of fairy tale archetypes, inverting those conventions and tropes from all the classic characters to completely reinvent the genre. So instead of a dashing and fearless prince, you get to see Wesley's frailties on display for nearly a third of the movie, and then he's rendered useless, his body is all limp. Instead of a damsel in distress, you get Robin Wright playing Princess Buttercup as feisty and strong-willed, hell-bent on getting her true love rather than marrying the craven and vain prince. And instead of a vicious giant snarling and grunting at smaller adversaries, you get this warm and funny one, brimming with humanity. And because he wasn't a trained actor, it just seems so believable that the role actually tapped into something very real about Rusimov. I wonder what you think. When I watch that movie, I think I'm getting a much more real version of Andre the Giant, and maybe this is just projection, than what you saw in the wrestling ring where you know, wrestlers are bouncing off him. It's purely about his size and ferociousness and his immovability. And sure. When you watch the movie, I think back to the story about him riding the bus with Samuel Beckett, and he's sort of... There's a humanity about Andre the Giant, even at that size.
I think that's right. I mean, there's famous stories from the set about how he couldn't get his lines and he had to redo things.
Hard to understand. Rob Reiner said
Rob Reiner thought he was going to, they wanted this perfect for the role physically. And so they wanted him desperately, but he couldn't do it. And it took him take after take. And that comes out. He's, you know, he doesn't know how to, his acting is not very good, I guess. And
The lines are garbled.
But there's an authenticity that just bleeds through that. That's undeniable. Had you had somebody who was playing the fee-fi-fo-fum giant, it just becomes a lesser movie because of it.
Right? I think that's right.
There's no movie that I quote more. There's no movie.
Endless.
And a lot of it is like, "Hello, lady," which he says to Robin Wright, right at this, I think it's his last line of the movie.
It's so good.
Hello, lady.
Hello, lady.
I use that all the time. My wife comes from work, I'm like, "Hello, lady."
Yes.
She knows what I'm referring to. It's just his lines in that, "Anybody want a peanut," which we had the quote from earlier, the clip from earlier. We say that all the time. Every time we're at the Dodger game, we're like, "Hey, anybody want a peanut?" Every single time.
And everyone on the set, Robin Wright in particular, says he was just so warm. He was like the elder statesman. Yes, he's not a trained actor, but it would be cold outside on set sometimes. And she said he would just put his massive hand over her head to warm the top of her head. So you hear lots of these stories about him. Never anything nasty.
Right. It's classic as it became. The casting, I guess, almost didn't happen, right? I guess William Goldman had originally shopped the novel in the 1970s and wanted Andre to play the Fezzik role, but his wrestling schedule left him unavailable. By the time the film was greenlit, the casting director was told that production conflicted with a wrestling match in Tokyo and looked for potential alternatives, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Ferrigno, and even Liam Neeson.
Think about this movie with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar playing Fezzik. It's unimaginable.
I like to picture a casting couch. They all come in. First, it's Andre. And then Kareem's like, "What? Why am I here?
Kareem, you want me to say what? Anybody want a peanut?"
and then Liam Neeson, you know, this like handsome, strapping, 6-foot-tall actor comes in.
It's amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. At the last moment, the WWE, fortunately, informed the casting director that the match in Tokyo had been canceled, clearing Andre's schedule to take on the role. And the rest, as they say, is movie history.
And from the moment he bursts onto the wrestling scene until his last walk back to that Paris hotel room the night of his death, Andre the Giant was an object of fascination for the public. Someone to marvel at as a maybe roadside freak show, but rarely someone to understand as a person with all the complexities and nuance of any other person. But he really was so much more than just that 7'4", 520-pound marvel. And beneath that exterior was a complicated but ultimately tender and sweet man. And in his short life, perhaps the best glimpse of that inner humanity came through his work on The Princess Bride, a movie that has defined his legacy in the hearts of many of its adoring fans and left an indelible imprint on all of his castmates. And so I wanted to give the final word to Mandy Patinkin, who starred alongside Rusimov as Inigo Montoya and gave one of the most moving tributes to the legend upon hearing news of his death, recounting a shared moment of their time on set and casting more light on who Andre the Giant really was than could ever be gleaned from his decades in the wrestling ring.
My favorite moment with him, Andre and I were on the boat alone with only the script supervisor.
Hello.
She turned to Andre and she said, have you enjoyed this experience? Has it been enjoyable for you? Has it been pleasurable for you? And he said, oh, yes. She said, tell me how, what have you enjoyed about it? He looked at her and he said, without skipping a beat, nobody looks at me. He was just one of the guys.